So my presentation is on how drying and pre-treatments affect the sensory quality of oyster mushroom. So oyster mushrooms are valued for their nutrition. They're highly nutritious, especially if you're considering their protein content, which can range somewhere between maybe 30 to 40% depending on the species, depending on growing conditions, which is pretty high, especially if you're comparing with other non-meat sources of protein. They're also flavorful, and one important thing is that they're easy to grow, so easy to integrate with on-farm activities, especially with people who are already growing some sort of plant. They grow on more than 200 different types of crop residues with limited capital investment, meaning you wouldn't need much of environmental modification to be able to grow oyster mushroom. And this is the reason why they were specifically identified by the World Health Organization to be something that could be potentially used to alleviate malnutrition in resource-limited communities. But one challenge is that they're highly perishable. So in comparison to most other mushrooms, they spoil quite easily. If you're in an area that has limited resources and maybe you don't have refrigeration, they probably won't keep even for more than a day. And even if they're refrigerated with other mushrooms, they don't keep for too long. So there is a need for simple preservation methods that can be adopted, especially at the household level, in resource-limited communities, so that they may be able to produce this mushroom, preserve it, and be able to consume it throughout the year, even if it's off-season for production. So the objective of this study was to determine the effect of drying and pre-treatments on the appearance, the texture, and the flavor of oyster mushroom. So we had two drying treatments, solar drying and oven drying, and then three blanching treatments. We had a no blanch, a steam and water blanching, and then four chemical pre-treatments, no chemical, potassium bisulfite, vinegar and lemon juice. So the one of the industry standards that's used when you're drying mushroom is potassium bisulfite. So we were comparing that basically with lemon juice and vinegar to see if that could also be used, because that would be easily available to anyone. At the top, what you see are the oyster mushrooms when they're fresh, when we received them, and then this is a picture showing a treatment with one of the chemicals. I think this was vinegar, and then this is what the mushrooms would look like before drying. And right at the bottom, I have a picture of the solar dryers that we used. So we used solar dryers, and then we just used an oven. So after the mushrooms had been dried, they were evaluated by a sensory panel. This panel had six people, and this was divided into two different experiments. So the first experiment looked at the effect of drying and chemical pre-treatment without a blanching method. And then the second experiment looked at the combination of everything. So we're looking at the drying method, the chemical treatment, and the blanching method. And you will find that even though I introduced four different chemical pre-treatments, when we did the second experiment, we only compared vinegar and potassium bisulfite, because we had a problem with mold developing on any samples that had been blanched but did not receive a chemical pre-treatment, or samples that had been blanched or received a lemon juice treatment. And so for safety, we just excluded it and ended up just dealing with vinegar and potassium bisulfite for the second experiment. So the attributes that were measured, under appearance, we looked at the yellow color, the brown color, and the wrinkled appearance on the surface of the mushroom. And then for texture, it was the fibrous and rubbery attributes. Flavor, we looked at the soapy, meaty, and sour taste, and this was measured on a 174 millimeter scale. So how we came about these attributes was during training, we provided some store-bought dried mushrooms to the panelists and spiked some of them with varying concentrations of some of the solutions we were using for preservation and had them taste, and they would determine what type of flavors they were tasting from that, and they determined what they saw in terms of the color, and what they determined also the texture attributes. And so this is what we used to develop the measuring tool. So I'll go into the results with the first experiment. This is the one I said just looked at the combination of the drying methods and the chemical treatment. You'd find there was a drying method by chemical treatment interaction. And this one I'll just concentrate with the potassium bisulfite treated samples, where you'd find the oven dried samples tended to have a higher color rating compared to the other samples, but not much of a difference with the other treatments. And then comparing the two drying methods, we found that the solar dried mushrooms tended to have a higher yellow color rating, so compared to the oven dried samples. And then looking at the brown color, there was also drying method by chemical treatment interaction. And again, looking at the potassium bisulfite treated samples, would find that the ones that were solar dried tended to be darker than the ones that were oven dried. And even if you look at the graph at the bottom, you'd find that generally the solar dried mushrooms tended to be darker than the oven dried mushrooms. And this is also shown in the table there, where you find there were higher ratings for solar dried mushrooms. And at the bottom is just a visual comparison. You would see in the first picture, this is what the mushrooms look like fresh. And then these are oven dried mushrooms that actually received no chemical treatment. And these are solar dried mushrooms that received no chemical treatment. And you'd find that the solar dried mushrooms tended to be darker. So there was also an effect on the appearance based on the chemical pre-treatment that was used. And in terms of the brown color, you'd find that those that received the vinegar and the potassium bisulfite treatment tended to be darker compared to the ones that had no chemical and the ones that had lemon juice. But the opposite would happen with the yellow color, where you have the lemon juice treated ones and the ones that received no chemical having a higher yellow color rating. So the colors tended to work in opposites, I guess. Where you have more of a brown color, you have less of a yellow one. And where you have more of a yellow, you have less of the brown. And then in terms of the wrinkled surface appearance, you'd find this was more associated with the ones that received no chemical treatment and the lemon juice treated samples compared to the ones that had vinegar and potassium bisulfite. So for flavor, we found that there was a difference with the soapy and sour taste, and generally the ratings for these were much lower than the ratings for the other attributes, because this was out of 174. But you'd find that generally it was higher for the potassium bisulfite and the vinegar treated samples, meaning these chemical treatments were kind of carrying over as an extra flavor to the mushroom, which I guess is not desirable. And then there were no differences in the texture attributes, the fibrous and the rubbery. So in terms of measuring the overall acceptability, we found that the panelists thought that the ones that had no chemical and the ones that had the lemon juice were more preferable. And these were the ones that were associated with the lighter color and also associated with less of an aftertaste carrying over. So that would probably justify why they thought these were more acceptable. So moving on to the second experiment, this time we were combining the drying method, the chemical treatment, and the blanching methods. And like I mentioned, that the ones that had received no chemical treatment and the lemon juice treated ones developed mold. So I'm just going to be comparing, in terms of the chemical pre-treatment, the vinegar and potassium bisulfite treated samples. So looking at the vinegar treated samples, we found that these were darker when they were in the oven, which was surprising, because with the previous experiment, it was mostly the solar dried samples that tended to be darker when compared to the oven dried samples. And you'd find here again, when you're comparing the vinegar and the potassium bisulfite, that the vinegar treated samples tended to be darker compared to the potassium bisulfite treated samples. So in comparing the effect of the blanching method on the color, we found that a steam blanching tended to result in darker mushrooms compared to the ones that had been water blanched. And then in terms of flavor, again, the steam blanched mushrooms tended to also have a sour taste, and this wasn't clear why they would have more of a sour taste compared to the ones that had been water blanched. And then comparing the effect of chemical treatment on the flavor, the vinegar, previously we saw that the vinegar and potassium bisulfite were both carrying over, but in comparing those two chemical treatments, it seemed like it was worse with the vinegar than it was with the potassium bisulfite. And this time there was a difference in the fibrous texture attribute, and the water blanch samples tended to be more fibrous compared to the samples that had been steam blanched. So now looking at how they ranked the overall acceptability, we found that the water blanch samples tended to be more acceptable. So the water blanch samples, even though they were found to be a little more fibrous compared to the steam blanch samples, they tended to have a lighter color and they didn't have the sour taste carrying over. So maybe that's probably why they thought they were a better quality or would be more acceptable compared to the steam blanched mushrooms. In comparing overall acceptability, we found that those that were treated with potassium bisulfite were more acceptable compared to those treated with vinegar. And if we reflect back on the other results, we found that the vinegar-treated samples tended to have more of an aftertaste carrying over, and they also tended to be darker compared to the potassium bisulfite-treated samples. So in conclusion, from this study, we found that drying and pretreatments do affect the sensory quality of oyster mushrooms. So even though the goal is to try and preserve and extend the shelf life, they need to really consider how to do that in a way that preserves mushroom of quality that the consumer would still appreciate. Where there was no blanching, we found that there was better quality with the lemon juice and the no chemical compared to both the potassium bisulfite and the vinegar treated samples. But when we included a blanching treatment, we found that having no chemical treatment having lemon juice was not effective in preventing mold. That's why we couldn't use those samples for the sensory study. And we found that potassium bisulfite gave better quality compared to the vinegar treatment. And then generally the solar dried mushrooms tended to be darker, and so were the steam blanched compared to the water blanched mushrooms. Steam blanching resulted in better textural quality, so these mushrooms were less fibrous compared to the ones that had been water blanched. But however, the water blanched mushrooms were found to be more acceptable. So in terms of future research, maybe it would be interesting to see, to do more of a thorough study on the effect of these, how these preservation methods would help in controlling microbial infestation. So looking really at food safety, we didn't do much on that, but we had just noted that there was mold development and managed to separate and remove those samples. And then considering that the solar dried samples tended to be darker, it would be interesting to look at how shade drying might affect the quality of the mushroom, if that would be a possibility. And also maybe looking at the different qualities in terms of the sensory quality and the nutritional quality at different storage periods. That's the end of my presentation. If you have any questions.
Yeah, I have a couple of questions. How did you do pain spread?
How did...
Did you ask people to just chew on mushroom, or did you cook with anything, or did you ask people to chew, taste dry mushroom? How did you do this? The other question, okay. Did you take any chromatic measurement when you say something's dark or something's more yellow?
Okay, so the first one, we had people taste the mushroom. We rehydrated the mushroom and then just fried it in a nonstick skillet with no oil and nothing to flavor it. So they tasted the mushroom and determined what they were tasting in terms of the texture, the flavor. And then in terms of the appearance, no, we didn't use any instrument other than the sensory panelists. They determined comparing the mushroom with the standards. So when we developed the tool that we used for sensory analysis, one thing that we came up with were standards. So for example, for the color, we had a low intensity standard being maybe like button mushroom because it's white. This is for brown color. And then a high intensity standard being the portobello mushroom because it's really dark. So they would, so we would put that maybe at closer to the 174 millimeter mark. And so they would then judge the color of the oyster mushroom provided to them based on that scale. So for each of the attributes, we had standards anchoring the different ends of the scale.
That's it.